Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Nobody does.
This is how we do it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, yeah, ESPN
this is
Radio,
how we do
Sirius
it.
XM Channel
yeah.
80.
What?
And your smart speakers, Chris Canty, in for Keyshawn thing. Today. Jay, I can't believe what I just heard.
What is going on?
You're talking to DiPietro and Rothenberg on their excellent show on ESPN New York.
Yes.
And I heard you invite them. Oh, Jay missed the shot on the waste paper basket. No look, but it was close.
No look, close.
So I heard you invite them to Citi Field.
Yep.
To watch
yeah.
you throw out the first pitch for the Mets.
Yep. May 31st.
Guess I noticed something. Chris, did you get an invite?
No, I didn't. Actually.
Evan, Yates, anybody? Pat?
I didn't get an invite.
James?
You think you know a guy, dog.
You didn't invite
you invite the New
show.
York guys.
I don't like anybody on my show.
No, wow. Ahead of the people you work with every
day.
I don't like the people I work with every day.
That's obvious.
I would have invited you.
Jay, I don't work with you every day, though.
Well, you're a Yankees fan. You're going to get an invite after the show. That's going to be more private.
Oh, okay. All right.
James, what are you saying? You're yelling,
James. You just didn't want to offend everybody else. You're
going
to do it on the side.
Max isn't coming to Citi Field
anyway. I ain't going to no Citi Field to watch the Mets. Hell no. Hell no. I'm not going to invite
you. Rothenberg ahead of the guys you work with every single day. I am so mad.
Because I don't
ridiculous.
Like you, James.
Jay, that's crazy, Jay. Like, you ain't even give me an opportunity to say,
First off, Yates,
you could have gave me an opportunity to opt out.
First off, Yates, don't you yell at me. I gave you my courtside seats to the Nets game.
That
you can't say anything to me
true.
For years to come. So you're
Nets.
Out of it.
Yeah,
Evan, I'm just trying to take you to the Masters, Evan. So I'm done with you, too. And James, I gave you my courtside seats to World Wrestling WWE. I'm tired of all this hate. All you do is you take from me every day. You give me nothing. Nothing.
Oh, he's going to lose his voice.
BS.
You hear how high-pitched his voice
You
was.
Are Chris, absolutely that came correct. From I stand corrected.
Yeah, you all stand corrected. That's why I don't like any of you.
Wait, I want to hear this. I want to hear this.
I was a grateful teammate.
Yates just stood down. Evan, James, are you standing down? Yes or no?
No,
you're
I'm
welcome,
not standing
James.
Down because now I think that my Masters ticket was offered to Dave Rothenberg first. I was just
wow.
that complex. Dave Rothenberg
wow.
was
going
to go. Want to go to the yeah. Masters? Yeah. Dave
you
can't go.
WWE
I invited David
before?
Rickford,
yeah.
but they couldn't go.
That's
Do you
want to
go?
Know.
You know what I don't understand, Max? Why would Yates want to go to a Mets game after the Mets just did what they did to his hometown Phillies?
To his Phillies, right?
What? Because he ain't loyal.
I don't even understand.
I'm not really. Canty, I'm not really a baseball guy, so I just wanted the opportunity to say, you know what? I don't want to go to that John, but it's cool now.
When you're using John, you're a Philly guy,
yeah,
and by rule, you have to rock with all Philly sports teams.
Well, in that
so
case,
even though you're not
I
a baseball
go.
Guy,
to the
you should still be embarrassed by what the Mets did to your team last night.
I was at the barn a couple times, Max, you know, mm-hmm. Carter Hart and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots, he scores.
But listen, Yates stood down. Evan brings up the fact that he believes that he was not the first guy to receive the invite with those courtside tickets to the Masters.
I've sent a bottle of Camus wine to Evan's house
and it was
for him and his
Dave
wife.
Rothenberg.
Has Evan ever done anything to me? Has Evan ever said
Dave
anything to my family's
Evan.
House? Yeah. No, Evan says inappropriate things when he's on speakerphone in front of my wife. That's what Evan is.
Yeah.
That's the kind of man Evan
is. I didn't
is.
Know I was on speakerphone.
Yeah,
what?
I told you you were on speaker after what? The fact.
What?
Wait.
You know what, though? No, Key says I'm only in this job because of my dad. I think I'm only in this job because RJ and Ray Santiago turned it down first.
Wow.
Wait, Jay,
how did you find out about that?
Jay, since we're talking about stuff like that, I have a question for you. What is this?
Throat jammy, the whole thing. try to connect that to something inappropriate somehow. You can't do it.
Well, what do you mean try to?
I don't think it's hard to connect something to inappropriate.
Yes,
you're
no.
going to have
By the way,
to take well, a couple steps there.
Operative word is trying. Never mind.
Throat jammy?
You're saying try an operative word, then you're saying throat jammy. Jeez.
Hey, listen, man, we don't judge anybody for alternative lifestyles.
Yeah, I mean, whatever makes you happy, Max.
I'm very secure. I'm very secure in myself. These things don't bother me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your grooming is impeccable.
I have a sore
perfectly
throat.
Coiffed hair, by the way.
That's true. By the way, I'm perfectly. Fastidious. I'm fastidious in terms of how neat I am and everything
mm-hmm.
in my house and everything, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are ungrateful teammates.
Shoes off at the door.
So I don't like any of you anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, are we invited to the Mets game? Or
January 5th, James.
So we're invited then?
Wait, the day before? You should. Can't even get the joke right.
They're out of town already.
Right?
Yeah, show up on the 7th.
They're out of town.
I thought they had a home game.
Do you guys want to go to the Mets game?
No.
See,
really.
You guys are the worst.
No, because it's an afterthought. Like, you know what? They don't want to go, Max, because it's an afterthought. And right now, in their heads, they're probably hoping that Jay Will goes out there and bounces the first pitch like 50 Cent did.
Oh, Pat Costello
for
sure.
Don't put that in his mind. That's evil.
Pat Costello for sure wants that because he'll use it for all social media content.
Jay, what have you gotten Jerry? New guy on the show. What have you gotten Jerry?
Jerry just came back on the show. Jerry left us for a year.
I worked on this show late into the night every single day of the week. But I still love you. That's the difference between me and them. That's all. Oh!
I love you too, Jay.
First of all, Jay, let me just tell you, I don't want to go to a Mets game.
I know.
I don't want to go to Citi Field.
Yes.
I hate the Mets. I'm a Yankees fan.
Understood.
Okay, and that's how it works in New York.
Yes.
You choose a side, and you... By the way, back in the day, Yankees fans hated the Mets worse than they hated the Red Sox. People forget about this now.
Wow.
I think that's changed over time, but there was a time where... Mets were public enemy number one in Yankee Stadium.
It felt like that in the 80s.
Yeah, man.
Growing up in the city, it felt like that. Because the Mets were the cool team in the 80s.
Jealous,
especially the late 80s with Dodd.
We got jealous, didn't we?
How old are you, CeCe?
I'm younger than you.
So how you know about that? You're talking about the 80s like you were like 15, 20 in the
80s. I'm an 80s baby.
You got older brother?
Yeah, I got two older brothers.
See, there you go.
See, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only child. I had nobody passing it down.
Gotcha.
Nobody.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
No, let me tell you something.
You are the worst.
Let me tell you something. In the 80s, in the Yankee Stadium bleachers, where I basically grew up, right? Mm-hmm. In the 80s, there was a chant, which I cannot repeat because it is inappropriate. But it started out by, I'll modify it a little bit, where you talked about who stunk, right? And number one was Mets stunk, and then Boston stinks, and then whoever you're playing stinks, and then the right fielder stinks for whoever you're playing, and then box seats stink, and then that side of the bleachers stink, and then you had to do a 360 pointing to everyone. You all, let's call it stink, right? Mm-hmm. But the Mets were number one.
Yep.
That's the kind of town New York is. There are towns like Chicago. You're either a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan. You're not both.
Can I ask you guys a question considering you guys are both Yankee fans?
Mm.
Considering that you guys couldn't come to an agreement with Aaron Judge and he bet on himself, which I love, and considering the fact about how he's been playing, how do you feel now? How do you feel about the future of Aaron
Judge? I was
Judge?
Mad at the Yankees. Chris Canty in for Keyshawn today. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. I was mad at the Yankees because they came up to like 30.25 million. Really? You're gonna blow this over $2 or $3 million a year for Aaron Judge. You already went up to the length he needed, right?
Yeah.
You took him to age 37.
Yep.
So you're gonna quibble over a couple million. That really bothered me.
Yeah, but you know how the Yankees have been operating under Hal Steinbrenner as opposed to George Steinbrenner. They used the luxury tax threshold as somewhat of a hard salary cap. Now, they went over the threshold, but you're talking about, you know, the increments that you go over.
They don't want a repeater tax.
Without giving too far in the weeds. They're not going to do what the Dodgers are doing. They're not going to do what the Mets are doing. You saw what Stevie Cohen did earlier this week, dismissing Robinson Cano, DFA-ing him, and eating $40 million. You think the Yankees are going to do that with Hal Steinbrenner? Hell no. Think about how long they drug that Jacoby Ellsbury thing out. So it was frustrating for me, Max, and you're talking about that $30 million a year range on average annual value. If you consider the fact that it is arbitration year this year, you're talking about that average being around $28.75 million. And when you consider some of the best players in baseball, some of the best hitters in baseball, Aaron Judge is worth more than that. He knows that. Somebody out there on the open market will pay him that. And this could end up being a situation where the Yankees live to regret not getting this deal done before the season.
He is a part of two distinct lineages for the Yankees, okay? The Yankees have the larger-than-life Paul Bunyan, hits mammoth home run guys like Babe Ruth, who basically invented the home run, Mickey Mantle, right, like that. He's part of that. Oh, my God, Ruthie and Aaron Judge hits the ball 500 feet. He hit 52 home runs as a rookie. Unbelievable. But he's also a part of the lineage of, like, Lou Gehrig and Don Mattingly and Derek Jeter, the homegrown product who could be the captain of the team, who plays all facets of the game very well, 5-2 player hits for average, runs the bases, plays defense, has a great arm, throws to the right base, all those things. You cannot, and on top of all that, there are maybe, he's in the highest echelon of great baseball players. There are maybe five or six guys as good as him in the game.
No question about it. When you start talking about his versatility in the outfield, he can play right field, he can play center field, and he's a gold glove defensive player. He's a plus defender. Yep. Not to mention, you're talking about a guy that's at the top of the league, top of the majors in home runs. And he bats .293.
And also, let me say something else.
And he's got an OPS over 1,000.
You guys are diehard baseball guys.
Just hit 8 home runs in 10 games. That's why they were winning.
You guys are diehard baseball guys. I'll be honest, I'm becoming a baseball guy. I'm becoming more of a Mets fan, I'll be honest with you guys, than anything.
Don't do that.
Welcome to a lifetime of misery.
That's fine.
I don't know. With Stevie Cohen and the way they spend their money.
I like those odds. But what I will say is I can quickly recognize from somebody who's been around Derek Jeter for a large part of my life, like considering we had connection points, is I see when players are endeared to this city what it means to their fan base. And last night, happening to turn on the Rangers game and seeing Aaron Judge at the Rangers game, literally down a beer and seeing the – I'm like –
with LeMahieu and someone else. Was it Rizzo?
Yeah, that's what, if you're in New Yorker, you're like, yes. Like, you get it.
Yeah.
It feels like he gets it.
Yeah.
And he was at the Brooklyn Nets game in that series against the Celtics.
He's such a great player.
But here's the thing, he's the closest thing to Derek Jeter since Jeter left.
And by the way, even Daryl Strawberry and Reggie Jackson, Daryl Strawberry was homegrown, but he played for the Mets, not the Yankees. Reggie was a free agent. But there's something about the way he hits home runs, Aaron Judge. You really, they're only Mantle and Ruth in New York ever hit home runs like that. He's the one that he had
in Kansas City, that straightaway.
Crazy.
He crushed the ball.
Well, Reggie hit them like that too, but he wasn't homegrown. But, I mean, like, this is something different. I cannot believe they would even entertain messing this up, but he's already more expensive than he was. Yeah. Jay, meantime.
Wait, can I give one quick caveat before you transition?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge, I'm sitting here looking at CC's thighs. Yo, you and Aaron Judge got the same kind of thighs, man.
Why are you looking at his thighs?
Why are you checking for my thighs, bro?
Have you seen his thighs?
I'm distracted by my throat jammy, Jay.
I was just made to feel very uncomfortable right now. And I'm not sure whether or not I got to report this to HR.
By the way,
but Max, back to our Yankees conversation. I want to ask you this question, Max, because I think it's a legitimate question. It feels like because the Yankees didn't get this deal done with Judge before the season, there is absolutely more urgency for them to win a championship than what the New York Mets have right now.
I agree.
Those two teams have the best records in their respective leagues. It feels like the Yankees got to get it done now or it's not going to happen. And one team's window is closing and the other one's seems like it's wide open.
Like Jeter, Judge gives you a very good feeling. I know clutch hitting, does it exist? How can you tell? Judge feels like a clutch hitter. In the playoffs, when he comes up, you're really happy about it. Not just like A-Rod used to get worried. Judge, you're like, yeah, I love this right now.
Yeah.
Because they went all in at Gerrit Cole and spent the $300 million plus, and now Severino's healthy, and they got back end of the rotation pitching and the bullpen, it feels like this, it's coming together in a way, even though it's not exactly like 09 when they signed to Sharon CeCe and won that year, but it feels like 09 where, you know what, guys? This team should win.
Agreed. My waist is size 32. I feel like his thighs are maybe larger than my
waist.
You're
still on his thighs?
I don't understand.
He's 6'8", 340, and played in the NFL. Of course he got big thighs.
It's like Aaron Judge. I'm telling you. Look at Aaron Judge when he walks in. You're like, their thighs are comparable.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
I could tell. Your
Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com.
Wish I had
put it in the box. The New York Mets with one of their most memorable comebacks in franchise history.
A great team win. Extremely special. The way everybody believed in each other, pushed each other, counting on each other. Special for sure.
That's about as hard as I've been through. We played a really good 8 innings, and it was just top of the ninth that beat us. It starts with an infield hit, and then they hit the baseball after that.
From New York.
I'm sorry about that, Max. I meant the home run against the Toronto Blue Jays. That was the home run I was talking about with Aaron Judge.
Even with all the great pitching for the Yankees and everything, without Aaron Judge, they're not going on that win streak. He had a ton of home runs. All right, you heard it on WCBS, the Mets' incredible comeback. They scored 6 on 8 hits in the ninth.
Mm.
They were down 7-1. They won 8-7. They were 3 out of 866 games played when trailing by 6 or more in the ninth in their history. They were 3-863. Been around, you know, for how many years now? 50, 60, 60 something years. They were 60-1 against winning that game when they were trailing 7-1 in the ninth inning at Caesars Sportsbook. Jay, you feel like there's something going on with the Mets. You've never really been a baseball guy. You have your choice, Yankees or Mets. They have you throwing out the first pitch every other day in Citi Field.
Every other day.
Meantime,
which we are not invited, by the way.
Yeah, we're not invited to that guy.
I've been actively recruited.
And Steve Cohen has bought the team at a time, you're right, where the Steinbrenners are playing New York cheap. They're using that luxury tax threshold and the repeater tax as essentially a de facto hard cap, or cap at any rate, where Steve Cohen, hey, Robinson Cano, by the way, you notice, Cano had a suspension for PEDs, missed the season, came back, can't hit at all.
Yeah.
And now he's in the minor leagues.
And you remember the day before when the Mets had that game, Dom Smith went 4-for-4.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's also 40. I mean,
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Everybody was saying, well, we got to give Cano time. He's batting 195. Let's just see how things progress early on. And it was like, we can't DFA Dom Smith just because he has options. This guy can help us win now.
Yeah, so, Jay, you feel like there's something happening with the Mets.
Well, last night reminded me a little bit of my miracle minute that we played against Maryland when we were down 10 and we came back with 50 seconds left to go in the game. It seemed like it was one of the most improbable wins of the Buck Showalter era, right? Like, you think about just in the ninth, it was like a wave, right? Like, 7 runs against the Phillies, like how they put that together. You know what I mean, CC? Sometimes when you watch teams, things are going right. You're like, all right, they're on a run. But then things are starting to seem like they're almost destiny-like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like and I've heard Mets fans say this, long-term Mets fans. I'm a new Mets fan to the team. But it feels like they're watching that saying, man, first time in a while, it feels like this is going to be our time. And that's
it's going to come down to DeGrom for me. If you have DeGrom, he is not one of the best pitchers in baseball. When DeGrom is healthy, he is clearly and by far the best starting pitcher in baseball. If you have DeGrom, I'm with you. But it depends if when, and how he comes back, right? Otherwise, they're still live. It's just with DeGrom, maybe they're the favorites. They're good. And listen, by the way, Chris, I always bring everything back to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, so Yankees and Mets fans, this is a real thing. This is not like Lakers and Clippers, where that town can never flip.
Yep.
The Mets flipped New York in the mid-late 80s. They had more exciting, young, homegrown products, Doc and Strawberry, and then they traded for Gary Carter and Keith Hernandez and Wally Backman, Ray Knight, and Kevin Mitchell was coming up through the system. Howard Johnson, they had a great team in the pitching, Sid Fernandez and Ron Darling, and on and on and on and on, right? Mookie Wilson, Lenny Dykstra, they flipped the town. More Mets fans than Yankees fans. They were more successful than the Yankees, who had nice teams. The Yankees would win 90 games, but and Yankees, as a Yankees fan right now, I love what the Yankees are doing, but I'm a little nervous about how good the Mets are.
Yeah, I would be too, but the one thing that I would say, first of all, when you have to look at the Mets, the thing that I would say is the weakness of their team is their middle relievers. They don't have anybody to get them to the back end of their bullpen. Now, Edwin Diaz has been phenomenal, and last night he showed it again, being able to close the door on the Phillies, not letting them breathe an inch.
Yeah, no one goes 7 or 8 innings anymore. You need middle relief.
After they had that comeback. Yeah, I mean, we know that the Mets are built on their starting pitching, but you got to have somebody to bridge it. Right now, the only middle relievers that I really trust, Seth Lugo, when he's healthy, and Chason Shreve. That's about it.
180 innings.
Trevor May was supposed to be your setup guy in the eighth inning. That's been a bust. You don't really, Drew Smith, I don't know. You don't really have enough guys to get you to your top end, your back end relievers.
Which is more important than ever because, Jay, in the old days, 200 plus innings, what a starter was supposed to do. You make 30 plus starts, between 30 and 35 starts if you're not really banged up that year.
Yeah.
And you go at least 6 innings a start, right?
Yes.
That was a starter. Nowadays, you know, on average, nowadays, Jay, if your starter gives you 180 innings, that's like the new 200, 175 innings. So they're only going 5 innings. They're not seeing the lineup 3 times.
Especially the back end of the rotation, guys.
No
right?
question.
When you've got
3, 4, and 5 ain't going,
when
no 7
innings.
When
you've got Bassett, when you've got DeGrom when he comes back healthy, when you've got Scherzer, you're expecting 6 innings plus from those guys.
Yep.
But when you get to the McGills of the world, Cookie Carrasco, you know you're not getting more than 5 innings.
I don't need
you can't expect that.
Modern baseball, because the third time through the lineup, the guy you're diminished and the guys now know
they've
what's coming.
They've seen the pitches.
You got 2 shots through the lineup if you're a back end starter. And you need, therefore, your bullpen to really step up and make up that gap. It's not like the old days.
Yeah, so you got to find a way to get, what, 12 outs?
Yeah.
You got to find a way to get 12 outs.
Out of your bullpen, absolutely,
That's what you got to do. So
that's why they have to carry so many pitchers.
So that's going to be the thing that I look for the Mets at the trade deadline, getting some help with middle relief in their bullpen.
Yep.
But the bigger question that the Mets have to ask themselves is, are they going to invest in Jacob DeGrom if, in fact, he opts out after this season?
So tough.
Because I don't know that they're a champion. I don't know that I'm ready to assign them as a championship contender.
Yep.
If they don't have a healthy Jacob DeGrom when they get to the playoffs.
Well, I strongly suggest that they pass on Jacob DeGrom. Steinbrenner, you go sign DeGrom right now. Don't tell me about the luxury
tax. Well, listen, if it comes down to money, you know that Stevie Cohen has no problem ponying it up. But the question is the medical staff going to be healthy with the information that they get back? Because remember, his season got cut short last year, and you're having an issue with his UCL this year. Like, are you going to trust giving Jacob DeGrom a deal comparable to what you just gave Max Scherzer?
Yep.
I'm not.
Scherzer's heading to the Hall of Fame for good reason.
Speaking of relief, we have to go to break. I have to go to the bathroom.
Tune into an NL battle tomorrow as the Cubs host the Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. You're listening to Chris Canty with us today in place of Keyshawn, a backup quarterback tearing apart the locker room.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I wouldn't attribute any, more significant weight to, how we're gonna manage the roster, the quarterback room, than other decisions that we face on a weekly basis.
The Browns weren't willing to eat enough of his salary. And I think that that's really what this is going to be about going forward.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key today.
Ooh.
And we have with us now, Chris, Louis Riddick. Lou, welcome to the show this morning.
What's going on, Max?
What's going on? You tell me what's going on with the Browns. Kevin Stefanski said on ESPN 850 Cleveland, the really big show. Listen to this, Lou. Is Baker being on the roster a distraction? Listen to Coach's answer.
When we're here in the building, we're kind of just focusing what we have to focus on. And today, that's a walkthrough that I'm already late for, so I'm gonna. You guys got to write me a note here.
Okay.
But it's just – It's the situation that we're in, and we're making sure that we're focusing on what we can focus on. We've talked about it. It is unique. I think everybody understands that. But for us, it's really treating it day by day and really not getting too far out ahead of it.
Are you confident it'll be resolved, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I think, I think everybody would love a resolution, but these things are fluid. I think Andrew's talked about it. We'll continue to do what's best ultimately for the team at all times, but this is a unique situation, and I think everybody understands that.
Lewis, what would make Baker Mayfield a distraction to the front office specifically? Like, how would he distract the front office?
I don't know if he necessarily, Max, really does distract the front office, because look, the only time that it becomes a distraction or an issue for them in the way in which we talk about it is when they're asked about it, is when they're sitting having press conference and or radio appearances or whatever that they do, whatever they,
whatever kind of things that they're doing here in the offseason, and they're asked about those kind of things. Because otherwise, look, it's part of the business. Players getting moved on, teams trying to absolve themselves of some of the financial responsibility of the contracts they signed them to, teams trying to trade players to other places, trying to upgrade positions on the roster, and guys get their feelings hurt. Look, that's just part of what front offices do. That's their job. Their job is to replace you. Their job is to try and upgrade the football team and do what's best for the club financially. So, I mean, the kind of thing that they're going through with Baker right now is not unique. I mean, it's unique because he was number one overall pick, but it's not unique to this particular regime because he wasn't their guy in the first place. They didn't draft him, so they're just trying to conduct business. So it's not really a distraction for them. And when people talk about it being a distraction in the locker room, it's not like Baker is hated universally throughout that locker room. There are players who still, I'm sure, have his back and feel as though he's someone who sacrificed for the team last year playing hurt, that they can understand some of the emotional feelings that he's having towards how, you know, they went and pursued Deshaun Watson and then what they signed Deshaun Watson to in terms of a contract and the kind of guarantees. There's people who empathize with him. So I don't really think it's a distraction. It's just a newsy, you know, gossipy type of thing for us because that's, I mean, you know, quite honestly, we have to cover the situation. And it is unique and it is weird because he was drafted number one overall. And when he was healthy, they were a team that was knocking on the door to being the AFC rep in the Super Bowl. So it's odd in that way that it has turned south so fast. But I think internally, these are kind of things that you deal with.
Lewis, you got to help me with this because one thing that I saw that I struggled with from Baker's perspective last year when it came to a leadership issue, I didn't understand the reaction after the public rift with OBJ. The organization decided to release him, and then Baker Mayfield essentially airing out the dirty laundry, saying that things need to improve from a communication standpoint with him and head coach Kevin Stefanski. To me, there was an opportunity for Baker to show some of the leadership that the organization needed him to, rather than to amplify the dysfunction that's going on in and around the team. Yeah. I just didn't understand that. And to me, that's conduct unbecoming of a guy that would be a franchise quarterback or that would be a starter, which is why I think the perception around the National Football League around Baker has changed.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. But there's many, many instances throughout the course of Baker's career where saying less and doing more should have been the mantra of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year for him. And I think as he moves through his career, he will, through the rest of his career, he will need to spend some time reflecting on how he has handled some of those kind of situations and make a decision whether or not he should be doing that going forward, especially if he's put back into a situation where he becomes, I don't want to say the face of the franchise, but where he becomes the primary starter at quarterback and people are going to ask him those kind of potentially explosive questions. Do I need to tell everybody exactly what I'm feeling? Or do I need to just sometimes toe the party line, so to speak, and just say, hey, look, I'm just trying to get better. You know, there's certain things that we need to do better starting with me. You know, you know the kind of talk that I'm talking about. The kind of things that keep things in-house, keep people from dissecting every single word that you say and get you embroiled in the controversy. The great quarterbacks in this league who we revere and who we talk about as if they are perfect, that like they cannot do no wrong, are the guys who are masters at doing that kind of thing. And that is a part of leadership. Part of leadership is kind of like saying less, doing more, letting your actions speak for you and not necessarily giving people fuel to dump on what could potentially be a smoldering fire within your locker room. You don't want to do that kind of thing. And Baker hasn't always been great at doing that. He's a very emotional, wears his emotions on his sleeve type of guy, the kind of guy who's kind of visceral, who you can get riled up pretty quickly in a press conference. We've seen him get agitated and start saying things, you know, in the past that he probably looks back and says, well, I hope he looks back and says, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, I think there's no doubt off the field there's things that he, I'm sure, if he's being honest with himself, would like to change. And maybe he'll get a chance to change that somewhere down the road. Although, man, it's not looking like the play on the field was good enough to the point where teams are willing to overlook some of the other off-the-field stuff. And it's not bad off-the-field stuff. It's just the kind of annoying off-the-field stuff that, quite honestly, if you can do without, you'll do without. And that's why this whole thing is like moving like molasses right now. Because no one's in a hurry to acquire someone whose tape recently, for whatever reason, whether it's his own doing or the fact that, and I know that not throwing shoulder was a problem, the tape is not good enough to overcome some of the other controversy that comes along with him, if you want to use the word controversy.
Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL executive and player, of course. Thanks, as always, Lou. Good to hear from you.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Is there too much mileage on James Harden to refinance?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I used to think if you wanted to know which college programs were going to be good, go look at the players' parking lot. Right? Like, what are they driving?
Exactly.
That tells you a lot about how serious that program was.
Yeah, exactly.
But listen to this now. Tennessee running back Bijan Robinson announced a partnership with Lamborghini dealership in Austin on Thursday.
Texas running back.
Texas
right?
running back. What did
Texas
I say? Run.
You said Tennessee.
I said, oh, so my fault. It's Texas running back. Yeah. Yep. So nowadays, you don't have to go. First of all, even back then, you ain't seeing no Lamborghinis. It's like it's too flashy. You're going to bring trouble. But you saw some nice whips in the players' parking lot in the big programs because they've always been paying players. Now it's out in the open. He's driving around campus in a Lamborghini.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. It's crazy to think that that's where NIL is going. But, Max, they've been doing this in college sports for the longest. All you had to do was go to Franklin Street back in the late 90s and the early 2000s and look at all the cars that the Carolina basketball players were driving. The UNC basketball players, all you had to do, you knew that their mom and dad didn't buy those cars for them. Maybe it was from one of Michael Jordan's dealership. Nobody really knows, but you knew that that was going on. So I'm glad that the young guys are monetizing their athletic abilities a lot earlier in their careers. But, Max, because the NCAA and these colleges and universities have been so slow to put in regulations or guidelines, it really has created chaos in terms of being able to manage all of the different ways that players can profit off of their athletic ability.
There was such a lack of leadership in the NCAA. You know, if you ever like work, you know, do game theory, you see that short-term incentives usually trump long-term interest, right? Take like energy policy and climate change, right? Short-term, it says we need energy right now, right? Trump long-term interest. We'd like a planet, right? Okay. And the NCAA, there's so much cash right there that they're kept grabbing for it. Let's just keep this going as far as we can before we have to change anything. Where what they should have done was gotten ahead of it, and then they could have put their hands on it and formed it. And now instead of that, instead of like cream cheese on a bagel, literally kids were getting in trouble for cream cheese on a bagel. Now you got dudes riding around in Lamborghinis out in the open. It's part of the system. It's
and Max, now you're talking about the transfer portal with Jordan Addison, the Pittsburgh receiver, the Biletnikoff winner, transferring supposedly to Southern Cal and having a seven-figure deal in place, a car and a house. That's where NIL
good
is
for them,
right now.
Though.
But it's not
they're generating
like,
the
it's
money.
Not like these colleges and universities in the NCAA didn't see this coming for years, which is why I have no sympathy for them.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Chris Canty in for Key today. Hey, we're asking, would you give James Harden a max extension? A max extension? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You can hit us up, Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max. The NBA playoffs are, after all, on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night. Warriors host the Grizz, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And then there's Game 3. This one, not so pivotal like the Warriors and the Grizzlies. Between the Sixers and the Heat, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Max, can I tell you
Jay,
something?
Jay, Chris, yeah?
Can I tell you something? So when Monica McNutt, cuz is what I call her, when she came in the first time, she was in some J's. She was in some sweats, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Like, I had to get up and do my little segment over at Get Up. And I walk in, I'm like, hold up. Like, why did I get the poor man's version of Monica on our show? She wearing her dress now.
Right.
He got everything just popping. She got the heels on. I'm like, oh, wait.
Monica,
got
jewelry.
I mean, the glow
ankles.
Up is serious, Jay.
What the hell? He got lotion.
I might have smelled some perfume or something. The glow up is unbelievable.
Y'all got to buy y'all hoodies.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a quick update. I did buy the hoodie.
When did the Clark Kent telephone booth just like, boom, just
Super Bowl?
I mean, 8 o'clock, get up, first segment. Like, you know what I'm saying? Radio's a different vibe. I love y'all.
Well, you hadn't gotten up yet.
Right.
We got you before you got up.
I'm still working on it.
I think it's fair for us to feel a way about it.
Yeah.
I think
it's we get down, apparently.
Listen, no. To show up half made up in a hoodie and whatever I had on this morning is respect. It's a comfort level. You know what I'm saying? That's another form of love, y'all.
To feel uncomfortable with you wearing what you're wearing now on set earlier.
It ain't about just about me. I'm comfortable with y'all. Either way. There you go.
Okay.
It's love.
See,
it's love.
Your ability to flip that, I'm like, damn.
Monica,
right? I got nothing
beating
to say.
Us in
you
the
know
head.
You would never win an argument with Monica.
Exactly.
You'll never win a debate with her, ever.
Nope. You got it, cuz. You got it.
Monica, you want to hear what Wendy had to say, Brian Windhorst, about Joel Embiid's status for Game 3?
Let's do it.
Here he is.
I don't believe they will. And I know people are going to think that's surprising based on the fact they did everything they could to wait for their guy. But you don't do like the Lakers did with Russell Westbrook and double down on a bad decision. And here's why. James Harden, if you look at his Carfax, he's breaking down. He ain't that same player. Chris Paul is a classic car. He's a used car. This team can't win because they got him.
Ooh, they need him. It'll be bad. In the nick of time. Mm. Can they win without him, Monica?
No. I got to sweep without him.
Mm. Yeah. With him.
With him, I think it gets interesting. I think they can push it to 6. But how crazy would it be if he's Clark Kent, right, and make something happen? The difference to me, folks, you know, bantered around the idea of whether or not they should put him back for the sake of his big picture. Yes, you should put him back. He could be the MVP, maybe is a hangnail away from being the MVP. He is that much of a difference maker. He is their best chance to getting there. And because of his injury history and who knows what's going to happen with Harden, this is the shot you've got.
Listen, they haven't lost a home game yet.
Mm-hmm.
You get Embiid back. It's a series, in my opinion. But even if you get Embiid back, James Harden has to show up. Here is Jalen Rose on Get Up, which Monica gets very dressed up for.
Not our
on
show.
Whether or not the Sixers should sign Harden to an extension.
He hasn't cleared the concussion protocol yet, so he can't be listed as anything but out. This is more of a issue related to that issue as opposed to the orbital fracture. So if he is able to follow the steps and clear concussion protocol on Friday, and he's okay playing in that mask, I still think there's a decent chance that he's going to get out there for Game 3.
Oof. But see, Monica, I said, look, there's nothing wrong with the used classic car. You just can't expect to drive it every single day.
And you need different fuel at some point.
Thank you.
Right?
Do classic cars need different fuel? Or did you just make that up?
No, it was an analogy. I don't know if it's actual fact, but with the analogy.
All right, fine.
They need premium.
Yeah, premium. Yeah,
regular.
No, I mean, premium. Monica, you're on TV and stuff. You should be putting premium in anyway.
There you go. Well, you know. Yeah.
Might be tough with premium. Gas prices.
And maybe I am naive to believe, but I do think James Harden still loves basketball and wants to play. And so the next chapter of sacrifices, we mention a guy like Chris Paul, is body, food, lifestyle. And I don't know that he goes vegan in the way Chris Paul does, but do I think there's still something there that can be a part of a winning team? Yes. I think James can still be a terrific facilitator. Is he going to be James Harden from Houston? No, and we probably should have our mock ceremony from last year with Pastor Keyshawn to put that idea of James Harden
to rest. I could just hear James Harden listening to you right now going, okay, what do I have to do? Monica's going to lay it out for me.
Right. She's going to give
you the whole menu. You're going to have to worry about your body. Okay, I can do that. How do I do that? Food. You're going to have to give up food. No, I'm not doing that. And also lifestyle. I got to stop going out. Is there any other way to worry about my body? Can I go out and eat? Because he ain't doing those second 2 days.
Okay, so what you want? You want to go get a big-time deal in, you know, city that is not fun and doesn't have the kind of clubs you like anyway? So,
Sacramento.
Like, what?
That's a part of the problem. Right? Doesn't have the kind of clubs you like. We're going to need for your jersey not to be hanging in gentlemen's establishments, bro.
I mean.
But, Monica, I got to ask you this question.
Goat status.
At this point, with what we see from James Harden, can he be the second option on a championship-winning team?
I got him as third.
Monica and I did it at the same exact time.
I got him as third, CeCe. I still think he can be a contributing piece. But what makes James a second option, right? It was the explosiveness. It was the separation. It was the ability to get to the free throw line. All of that stuff has gone. In particular, if he stays with Joel Embiid, he is your one, bar none. No questions asked as long as he's healthy, right? And it's funny because bigger, just to pull this conversation out a little bit, the conversation has come up about Luka. Like, can Luka be enough, right? Was James ever enough without playing no defense?
Nope.
Great point.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're going to be a top, I don't know, 15 point guard now in the league, cool. But that looks very different. And I don't think that's a two position for him.
Here's one thing that a concern for me. So I get it because I want Joel Embiid to come back, Monica, desperately because of the season he had and the chance for them to win it. But what are we asking of a guy that literally just started looking at his phone the other day, like where the lights bother him, concussion protocol, you know, the ringing in your ear. Now they're going to go, you know, at home where it's going to be loud. Like, it's a big ask.
He could do it.
Whistles, buzzers.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, listen, just from the world of boxing, guys get that and worse. Get up and finish the fight 10 rounds, you know, 12 rounds.
Think about what you just said from the world of boxing.
But what I'm saying is it can be done, and so it becomes an issue of how much you want it, and Embiid, to me, looks like a guy who really wants it right now.
That's where I get worried about those narratives. How much do you want it?
But do you think that doesn't factor in?
No,
You're worried that if they don't do it, then we reverse engineer it and go, see, he didn't want it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's possible, even if he's not 100%, to go out there, inspire his team, and play well enough to carry them to a Game 3 victory.
Philly has been chasing the process for a long time.
Yeah.
Joel's had a checkered history when it comes to injuries. This is their best chance. Now, if he gets out there and it's too much, honor that. There's nothing for us to say in terms of you protecting your body beyond this game. Honor that. But if he can go, that is their best chance, point blank, period.
Yeah, their only chance, really. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Monica, that outfit, I see you.
You know, thanks.
Monica's always on point.
Right? Killing the game.
She wore the – you see, you should have gone with – I was promoting WNBA earlier.
I was. And if I could have worn my outfit – honestly, if I could have worn my outfit that I had on here on Get Up, I would have.
By which you're still promoting
Monica
the
McNutt
WNBA.
Giving the straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Jay's done with our production staff. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel
8. I quit!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.